ballot in Des Moines this morning. More than 30 states will allow early voting before Election Day. Monday night's game was the extra point, scoring the NFL's locked out refs a new deal. The replacements getting the boot. Fox News Radio's Rich Johnson has this live.
Well, it was 3 weeks of shaky calls, irate coaches and players, and then, of course, Monday's game-changing play, as called by the Seahawks radio network, Steve Rabel.
Oh, my God, he's got it! Touchdown, Seahawks!
All that changed everything. Two marathon negotiating sessions leading to the tentative deal. The refs get an 8-year contract. They keep their pension plan. The league gets to hire a few full-time officials. And the regular refs will be in Baltimore for tonight's Browns-Ravens game, Dave.
Now, Rich, Harvard University's had a little tougher in the economic downturn. Its endowment has shrunk slightly to almost under $31 billion. But Harvard is still the wealthiest school in the nation. Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
Meet Sam's Club member Maritza Guerrero.
The family's busy and fall is in full swing. I'm juggling all kinds of things right now. That's why I like to have everything we need close at hand.
Join Sam's Club and convenience is always an easy reach with more savings on trusted brand name basics like Tide and Huggies, all for less than you thought possible. Sign up by October 7th and save even more with a gift card worth up to $40.
We can all use a helping hand. Sam's Club is mine.
Life is better when you're in the club. Sam's Club. Join and save. See club for details.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant presents Journey to Comfort with John Elway.
It was my rookie year, and my first game out there, I'm sweating bullets. But of course, I stuck my hand underneath the guard and not the center. I could hear the giggles throughout the whole stand. They couldn't figure out what the heck I was doing. I still haven't lived that one down.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant provides powerful 48-hour protection to guard against sweat and odor. Plus, 1/4 moisturizing technology. Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
Again, stocks are up to start the day on Wall Street. The Dow rising by about 40 points. Oil also going up today more than a dollar, back over $91 a barrel as gas dips another penny. AAA's national average for self-serve regular down to $3.80 a gallon. And we're finding out mortgage rates have fallen again to new record lows. Freddie Mac says the 30-year loan rate is at 3.40%. The 15-year option, 2.73%. Gay marriage back in court today in New York.
Back in June, a federal judge in New York ruled that the law was unconstitutional. This particular case involves a $363,000 federal tax bill that a woman received after the death of her lesbian spouse. The woman's lawyer successfully argued that if the couple had been heterosexual, the estate would have been exempt from taxes. Last May, a federal appeals court in Boston also ruled that the law, which defines marriage as only between a man and a woman, was unconstitutional. The issue is expected to eventually go before the U.S. Supreme Court. In New York, Steve Knight, Fox News Radio.
There's a new concern among doctors that some medicine is being overprescribed.
A new study shows U.S. seniors are being overprescribed antibiotics. Medicare records show that on average, seniors take at least one antibiotic per year, and older adults in the South as much as every 3 months. Researchers at the University of Pittsburgh say because of this, antibiotic resistance in southern states is at an all-time high. Experts say many antibiotics are prescribed because of patient requests, and medical professionals need to cut back. Colleen Capon, Fox News Radio.
It's almost October, and you know what that means at the mall. Retailers are getting ready because we might be doing more shopping. Deloitte estimates holiday sales will rise as much as 4% this year, with the biggest spike in buying online. And the National Retail Federation says stores have ordered more than 8% more merchandise than last year. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
AM 1460, WVOX, and WVIP HD4, New Rochelle.
Updated weather forecast for Westchester County and vicinity. We're starting off with clouds. We have a few showers moving through this morning. The frontal system has actually gone through, but it's going to become stationary towards south and fairly close by. And when that happens, usually areas of low pressure form along the frontal zone and bring you unsettled weather. And it looks like we're going to get into that as we head towards later today, right through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and even into early next week as well. But the trend will be towards some improving conditions by later Monday and Tuesday. In the meantime, mostly cloudy, some showers likely for the early going. Into the afternoon, it'll be clouds and sun, high temperatures mid-70s, and a chance of some more showers moving in later today and tonight. Nighttime low temperatures down near 60. Periods of rain and showers on Friday. There may even be a thunderstorm tomorrow. Temperatures in the lower 70s, 50% chance of showers for Friday night. Nighttime lows in the mid-50s. Here's a look at the weekend. Mostly cloudy on Saturday, a chance of showers mainly in the morning, upper 60s. Sunday, it'll be clouds and sun with some afternoon showers, highs near 70, and then some early clouds Monday, becoming mostly sunny, lower 70s. Fair weather for Tuesday and Wednesday of next week as well. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather is brought to you on WVOX Worldwide by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center, right for New York.
Recently, some people have had questions about the plants that generate our electricity here in New York. You have a right to know the facts about one of the most important providers of power to our area. Did you know that Indian Point provides about a quarter of the electricity for New York City and Westchester, with virtually no emissions and at lower cost? Indian Point's operations are constantly reviewed to ensure safety by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. It's among the most thoroughly reviewed nuclear energy facilities in the country. And that there are multiple federal inspectors on site. And the law guarantees them access to any document, any employee, and any portion of the facility. That's accountability, every day, all the time. I'm Teresa Motko, and I'm an engineer here at Indian Point, and my family and I live in the area. All of us have a right to know why Indian Point is right for New York. Visit rightfornewyork.com for answers.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of Temple Israel of New Rochelle, Dr. Luigi Mealy, Ari Brown, and the Sound Shore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours. Thank you for joining us on 1460 WVOX, America's great community radio station where many different voices are heard in the land. Opinions expressed on our community and open line programs are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors. As always, we're privileged to amplify the voice of the people here on Vox Populi 1460 and worldwide at WVOX.com for you and yours.
Whether you're coming
in the morning
or going,
well, my way home,
we're your radio companion, VOX.
1460 WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lovensold, your host for the series on the natural world, education and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Co-host is Lilibeth Chang. Good morning, Lilibeth.
Good morning, Bob.
We're ready for a good show today.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, September 27th, 2012, the sixth day of autumn. The autumnal equinox occurred last Saturday, September 22nd. We've lost 3 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 38 minutes since last we met 2 weeks ago. Daylight is fading for sure. The sun rose at 6:48 this morning. It will set at 6:43 this evening. We will have 11 hours and 55 minutes of daylight today. The moon will rise at 5:14 this afternoon. It will set at 4:14 tomorrow morning. We're 2 days shy of full moon, which is this Saturday, September 30th, 2 days from now. So as you look up in the night sky tonight, if it is clear, you will see what appears to be pretty much a full moon. But it won't be full until Saturday. That's just FYI. Our next high tides in New Rochelle, 10:05 a.m. We are full high. It's 4 minutes past high tide right now. In Tarrytown, it got high at 8:42. It will be high again at 9 p.m. Havistraw, 9:26. Peekskill, 9:39. When I was out this morning jogging at about 7:30, it was coming in pretty rapidly, so I guess that's how long it takes, about 2.5 hours to get full from when it, well, from when it's coming in that high. Okay, our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. These are all people who have lost their lives in Afghanistan. As far as I know, no more people are being killed in Iraq, but there are occasional deaths here and there elsewhere. And also, as I read this list, these people are Americans. There are also Fijians and English and Australian. I don't read everyone's name, but there are our allies and people fighting on the same side as us, for the same cause, are also losing their lives, and our hearts go out to them as well. Americans are Sergeant Jason M. Swindle, age 24, of Cabot, Arkansas. He was with the 3rd Infantry Division, killed by a rocket-propelled grenade in Kandahar Province on September 20th. Specialist Joshua Nathaniel Nelson, age 22, of Greenville, North Carolina. He was with the 513th Military Intelligence Brigade, one of four soldiers killed when their position was attacked with small arms fire in an attack suspected to involve members of the Afghan police in Zabul province, September 16th. It's been a disturbing trend lately where people that we admit in that are dressed as Afghan soldiers come in and then they turn on our guys. So I don't know what we're going to do about that. I think we have already started to vet them a lot more carefully. It takes more than the right color shirt to get past our lines anymore, I think. The other three who died alongside Specialist Joshua Nathaniel Nelson were Sergeant Sapuro Brightly Inena, age 25, from Honolulu, Hawaii. He was with 2nd Infantry. Private First Class John Ross Townsend, age 19, of Claremore, Oklahoma, also with 2nd Infantry. And PFC Gennaro Bedoy, age 20, of Amarillo, Texas, also 2nd Infantry. Then there was Sergeant Bradley Wayne Atwell, age 27, of Kokomo, Indiana. He was with the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force. He was one of two Marines killed when insurgents attacked Camp Bastion in Helmand Province. They actually attacked the base, and that was on September 15th. These men were dressed. There were 15 of them. These men were dressed in U.S. Army uniforms. They penetrated the camp's perimeter fence and destroyed six Harrier jets, six refueling stations, and damaged six aircraft hangars. So they went kind of wild and crazy when they got behind our lines. And as I said, they killed Sergeant Bradley Wayne Atwell, age 27, and also Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Keith Rabel, age 40, of Huntington, Pennsylvania. Of the 15, 14 of the insurgents were killed, and one was captured. So that's one group that will cause us no more trouble, but that's enough trouble. And finally, we have Sergeant Kyle Bruce Osborne, age 26, of Lafayette, Indiana. He was with the 173rd Airborne Brigade Combat Team, killed by small arms fire and rocket-propelled grenade fire in Ghazni province on September 13th. September 13th was the date of our last show. And so it's quite possible that Sergeant Osborne was killed while we were on the air, certainly not much before or after that. So these eight American servicemen were alive when last we met 2 weeks ago. Sergeant Osborne was killed on that very day. And I always think about what may be happening in the field in Afghanistan right now, right at this moment. We know that thousands of Americans are at risk or losing their lives at this moment and at every moment. And perhaps someone is being killed right at this minute. So I want you to think about that sometimes. Any moment you're going about your ordinary chores, some American may be falling far from his or her loved ones. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the near future, because there are no more deaths to report. Time for the Culture Corner, my review of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions, and you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. Fortunately for you, you don't have the right to be wrong today, because we have nothing to review. Do you have anything to review today, Lilybeth?
No.
No, not today, but
not today. Next time.
But you will. Tonight we will attend the gala season's opening at Avery Fisher Hall, where Maestro Yitzhak Perlman will showcase his magnificent virtuosity on the violin. Can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to seeing and hearing that tonight, and we will give you a full report on our next program. Our guest today is author Dennis Marker. Dennis's book is called 15 Steps to Corporate Feudalism, How the Rich Convinced America's Middle Class to Eliminate Themselves. And then he goes on to subtitle that, From Ronald Reagan to the Tea Party Movement. Welcome, Dennis Marker.
Well, good morning. It's great to be with you, Bob.
Good morning.
Hi, Lilybeth.
Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
It's a pleasure. You're in New Mexico somewhere, right?
That's correct. I'm in Santa Fe.
Santa Fe, New Mexico. And what is the weather in Santa Fe this morning?
Weather is beautiful. It's sunny, bright, like it is about 350 days of the year.
Well, you know, people say the weather is beautiful, but that generally implies that it's sunny and not so humid, right? Is that?
Oh, that's right. That's
is that what beautiful means in terms of weather to most people? See, to me, I like hurricanes, thunderstorms, lots of rain. That's beautiful to me. Sun is, yeah.
Well, and living in the desert, we live in the high desert. We live in the mountains. But we actually appreciate a great downpour because we don't get them as much as you will in the east.
So, but when you say beautiful, you mean it's
sunny
not,
and bright. And the,
not too hot.
Wind chimes that are, there's a nice breeze blowing through the wind chimes, and it's just gorgeous. And as you say, no humidity.
No humidity at all. Well, you're in the desert, duh.
So it's gorgeous.
Okay. And is that why you live there, for the weather? Or for
it's partly the weather. When I left political work, I worked in D.C., and I wanted to go a place that was as far as far away from that as I could be.
Why is that? Is D.C. Just a bad place geographically, or is it the climate created by politics and the people that makes it so uncomfortable to be there?
Well, I think that it's both. I mean, when you're there, and I spent many years there working there, and I loved it. But, you know, in terms of climate, you've got the humidity, you know. It was built on a swamp. You know,
yes.
Basically a lot of D.C. is a filled-in swamp. And so you get that sort of weather.
Well, those who built it intended that people would just come and work their term out of obligation and then go home to their farms and their families. And nobody ever imagined it would become a big career position back in the day, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
But whoever set up the system gave an opening to those who would wield power with little talent. I have very little respect for most people in public life. I don't think they're very smart. I don't think they're very honorable and so on. And this book kind of addresses that in a way. So
it does.
Tell us.
I think, you know, there is a role for actual public servants. And I think that we've had in our history time when we did have public servants. But clearly we've had a transition to people doing that work, doing it more for their own personal gain, especially in the political world. And not only their own personal gain, but also, you know, right now I consider politicians to a large degree to be the hired help of the super rich. And so right now we have a system where whoever spends the most money wins. And obviously if you need to raise millions and millions of dollars to get elected, those millions of dollars don't come without strings.
So do you say we have a democracy, as we like to think of it, a republic, as the founding fathers thought of it, or a plutocracy, as what it seems to be?
I think we're getting much closer to plutocracy.
Closer to, not there yet?
Well, I mean, you know, it's always interesting how that's defined. In the book, I talk about it in terms of being corporate feudalism, and that simply being an economic system, a two-tiered economic system, where you have a few corporations and their owners wielding most of the wealth, and through that wealth, most of the power.
Okay, Dennis, I'm going to cut you off right now. We have to take our first break, but we will be back, and we'll talk about this in much greater length. You are listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. I am Bob Lovensold.
And I am Lily Beth Chang.
If you are listening in Harlan, Iowa, Mountainside, Michigan, Cold Spring, Washington, or Cold Spring Harbor, New York, Temple, Montana, St. Clair, New York, Boyd, Arizona, Fairfield, New Jersey, or Fairfield, Missouri, you have logged on to www.wvox, and you are listening live. Our guest is Dennis Marker. I am Bob Lovensold, and we will be right back.
With business news at 20 minutes past the hour, every hour, here's the latest update from the Fox Business Network on WVOX Worldwide.
From the Fox Business Network, it's a sea of green down on Wall Street. Just past 10 a.m. Eastern, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 39 points, green arrows across the board. Shares of Royal Energy are soaring more than 45%. This after the company confirmed it plans to develop 100,000 acres of land right next to where Great Bear Petroleum has its test wells in Alaska. Following the initial testing of those wells, Great Bear's chief executive has said that where they thought they would find oil, they have. American Airlines is reportedly threatening to slap its pilots with an injunction. The Wall Street Journal says the airline has asked the union to stop the operational disruptions by some of its pilots. The airline continues suffering from cancellations and delays. Both sides have indicated they want to resume talks on a new pilot accord. And Prudential Financial is reportedly moving closer to an agreement to buy Hartford's individual life insurance unit. The Wall Street Journal reports a deal between the rival companies may be reached today. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Robert Gray.
Do you trust the stock market or the national debt? Let's face it, this election year, stocks look artificially overbought. Move into gold and silver. Use your retirement account. Don't pay expensive fees. Exclusive offer. Free setup and storage fees. Discover how. Call Goldworth. Receive your guide free. 800-257-GOLD. 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 Visit goldworth.com.
There's always something happening with Bob Lebensold on 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com.
1460 WVOX.
Welcome back to WVOX 1460 AM. I am Lilybeth Chang, and he is
Bob Lebensold.
Our guest today is Dennis Marker. Hi, Dennis. Welcome back.
Thank you. Hi.
So, Dennis, before we went on a break, we were discussing about your book. Now, for those who don't remember high school history, can you define corporate feudalism for us a little bit?
Well, it's a term that I use, and I say, I will define it. It's a two-tiered economic system, and the way that what it looks the most like is old European feudalism. The difference is in the old-style European feudalism, you had family-based lords, basically, and these were people who controlled all of the land and all of the wealth, and they used that wealth to control the political system. And corporate feudalism is a new version of that. So instead of being family-based, it's corporate-based, but you have these giant, mega international corporations who now control a greater and greater percentage of wealth around the world, and particularly in the United States. And they use that wealth in the same way as the old feudal lords did to buy the political power. And then once they buy that political power, of course, they have their own politicians who write the laws that do exactly what they want. And so in our case, when I talk about the 15 steps that have led us to this, they continue to write laws. They continue to buy legislators through their campaign contributions who write laws that favor the very wealthy at the expense of everyone else.
Now, Dennis, when you say they buy politicians, are you saying that these politicians are absolutely have no conscience and no integrity of their own, and they just simply do what they're told?
I think there's a mix, but definitely we're moving more into that direction. I mean, if you look at the great Tea Party wave of 2010, what people thought they were voting for was, you know, all of these righteous ideas, but what they really got was the most pro-corporate group of legislators we probably ever had in history. And so while morality was what the Tea Party people might have thought they were getting, the people they actually were voting for were people like this guy in New York, was it the governor who was sending around some of the worst pornography ever with comments on it.
Not the governor. Dennis somebody. What was his name? Anybody? He was in the legislature. The governor is an upstanding guy.
No. Not the one who won. But anyway, you know, the list of Tea Party people. They had a guy in Arizona or in Alaska who was actually involved in trying to rig an election on someone else's computer he'd illegally hacked. They had, you know, just the list of people who were supposedly running as these moral upstanding citizens were really there to do one thing, and that was to support a very pro-corporate agenda.
So what happened to America? What is going on in America? Are we not the free, patriotic people that we thought we were? And are those who are patriotic kind of hoodwinked into believing a lie? In fact, your subtitle to your book is How the Rich Convinced America's Middle Class to Eliminate Themselves. I didn't phrase the question exactly, but you know what I'm getting at.
Sure. Well, what I want to do is to show people, one, that And I do this in a very simple way in the book, but the middle class in the United States did not always exist. The middle class came about because after the Industrial Revolution, workers came together in these factories and they realized they were needed. They realized they were part of the process of creating the wealth for the owners of these corporations, and they demanded a greater say, both in what was happening in terms of the safety in the workplace and also a greater share of the profit. And the people at the top, what we now call the 1%, they didn't say, oh, you're right, we should share more of this. They, in fact, fought in every way possible to keep the old style, which was, the Dickens style of the owner gets everything and the worker gets as very little as possible. And they won. The workers, after long battles, the labor struggles of the late 1800s and early 1900s, actually created this system, which we call the middle class, where a greater part of the profits was shared by the workers. And that was because the middle class was needed. What happened? Up when you get to the 70s, a few things changed that made the U.S. middle class worker no longer necessary to those at the top. And the three major changes were improved international communication, international transportation, and automation. With these three things, the owner of a factory that previously needed to make his products and sell his products in the United States all of a sudden had a situation where he could get a much better deal by hiring people in a Saipan sweatshop, for example, or in a Chinese factory where he can pay them $3 a day. And then you have a situation where, as I said, you no longer need the middle class, but you still have a middle class, the manufacturing sector, if you will. And so what we've watched for the past 30 years is this change where our manufacturing has been outsourced and the products brought back in here, but also the products being sold in China, India, other places where they have a growing middle class.
So, go ahead. So, Dennis, the middle class has been shrinking for the past, not decade, but three decades, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, now, how do you feel about that, and how can that be resolved?
Well, how I feel about it is I feel badly about it. I feel what I think it shows, and in some ways we might think it's common sense, but we don't really think about it. The only places where we have a middle class is where the regular people, the workers, have either convinced or forced those at the top to share more of their wealth. There are plenty of countries around the world that have dictatorships or some version of oligarchy, and we can see that. And so I think what we thought in the United States is once we got a middle class, it would just, you know, go into perpetuity. But what we're seeing now, and what we've seen over the past 30 years, is that if we don't continue to fight for it and insist on having a middle class, it's simply going to go away and we're going to have this two-tiered system, a few people at the top controlling all the wealth and everyone else with next to nothing.
Okay, so at what point is there a revolution and that system is overthrown? Because you can't live like that. I mean, the Americans didn't live like that. And in fact, the Tea Party named itself after one of the events in American history when they overthrew the oppressors. Well, how are the Tea Parties now aligned with the oppressors? I mean, what kind of a warp has happened in people's intelligence and in our political system? Okay, we have the music, so that rather meaty question will wait until we come back. All right, Dennis?
Right.
Okay, you are listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. I am Bob Levensold.
And I am Lily Beth Chang.
If you're listening in Watertown, Texas, or Middletown, New York, Seacliff, or Provincetown, Massachusetts, Ocean City, Maryland, or Ocean City, New Jersey, or Long Beach Island, New Jersey, or Kota Kinabalu, Borneo, where there probably are no computers, so you're probably not listening, you have logged on to www.wvox.com, and you are listening live. This is Environmentally Sound. The guest is Dennis Marker, and we will be right back.
With
world and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President Obama and Mitt Romney campaign in Virginia today. Some voters in Iowa at the polls starting this morning.
Seth Anderson brought his whole family to an early voting station in Des Moines as the balloting got underway.
We've made up our minds and we're out here to bank our vote early.
481,000 voters cast their ballot early in Iowa 4 years ago, and elections officials are expecting more than that this year.
Jim Boyd with Fox Radio affiliate WHO. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu addresses the United Nations today.
He will draw clear red lines for Iran, according to Israeli officials speaking to Fox News, that will not contradict President Obama's speech here at the UN on Tuesday, but rather he will say what needs to be done to stop Iran's nuclear program. Palestinian President Abbas also speaking today, making his case for a Palestinian state.
Fox News Radio's Courtney Keeley at the UN. Fox News, we report, you decide.
I want to do a new commercial for my friend Joe Migliucci. You know, I've been telling you about Mario's, the legendary, and it is that, Italian restaurant in the Bronx. I think I've been rattling on about it for 25 years. Actually, Mario's has been there on Arthur Avenue in the Little Italy Belmont neighborhood for about 92 years, since 1900 and 19, I think. You've heard countless stories from me here on the radio about Joe Migliucci, his wife Barbara, and before them, Mario and Mama Rose of sainted memory, his parents. I've told you about the warm, caring waiters, the great service, the valet parking. You just pull right up in front of the place on Arthur Avenue, and they do great parties, and they're awful nice to kids. So you know all of it by now. You've been listening to me long enough, and that it's a perfect stop on your way to or from the Bronx Zoo, the Yankees, Fordham, or Botanical Gardens. So I expect by now you know of my enthusiasm for the place and my great affection for the owners at Mario's. But never once it now occurs to me have I told you how really reasonable their tabs are. First of all, you can get a great lunch for $13.95. I mean, a great big lunch. And at night, a full four-course dinner for just $29.95. This is every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Things like veal marsala, sorrentino, chicken scarpiello, lasagna, all the good stuff, eggplant, parmesan, filet of sole or salmon, all from the regular menu for under $30 for everything. Or my own favorite, their individual pizza, and only Mario's has the best, a salad. I got to tell you, Mario's for lunch or dinner early in the week, Tuesday through Friday, is one of the best dining out buys to try. And they're really great people, which means they don't hold back with the low prices during the week. It's off Fordham Road, 718-584-1188. That'll tell you how to get there. I know this number by heart. 718-584-1188.
Time to pay some immediate attention to the trees on your property. But who do you call? Well, for almost 30 years in this county, smart homeowners have relied on the Mancuso family's Manor Tree Company. In every season of the year, Manor Tree, based in Pelham Manor, New York, has been the preeminent tree specialist for individual neighborhood homeowners and for the discerning proprietors of the great estates of Westchester as well. Business and commercial owners also know about Manor Tree for tree removal, stump grinding, pruning, shaping, even for quality, clean-burning fireplace wood. A free inspection of your property by Manor Tree Company right now can help protect your beautiful and valuable trees all year long. We invite you to call for a consultation in Pelham Manor, 914-738-1785. That's Manor Tree Company, 738-1785. They're the best you can find in Westchester.
Can I fire an employee for talking too loud? When it's hot as heck outside, do I have to send my staff home if our company AC is broken? Am I allowed to require my staff to actually work a full day and be productive? Every Monday and Friday morning, right after the 11:30 news, we'll have answers to these and other on-the-job questions in our segment called the Workplace Minute. I'm Rich Landau, a partner with Jackson Lewis, the preeminent labor and employment law firm in the country. Each week, I'll tackle these seemingly simple but often infuriating issues for both employers and employees. We look forward to you joining us.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Our weather forecast for today, calling for mostly cloudy weather, possibility of some showers this morning. Then in the afternoon, it'll be clouds and sunshine, or highs in the mid-70s. For tonight, still the chance of a shower this evening. And some rain likely overnight, nighttime lows near 60. Rain likely in the morning hours on Friday. And the chance of some isolated thunderstorms in the afternoon. Low 70s tomorrow on Friday. Friday night, cloudy with the possibility of some showers, mid-50s. Saturday's looking mostly cloudy. A chance of showers. Temperatures daytime will range into the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
No matter where you go.
Driving in truck all day long.
Driving to work.
We're right there with you. WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
Okay, we are back. Welcome back, Dennis Marker. Dennis, you
hello.
Welcome back, and welcome back to all of our listeners. Before we took that break, I asked you basically what in the world is going on. At what point does a system fail, and at what point does a revolution occur? And talk about the Tea Party. They named the Tea Party after the Boston Tea Party, which was about no taxation without representation. So, okay. Meanwhile, the Tea Partiers in this country seem to be aligned now with the Republican Party, which is the party of evil, the party of big money. And I'm not speaking to Republican rank-and-file people in our listening audience. I have great respect for the differences in conservative and liberal politics. I definitely, when someone asks me about like assisted suicide and abortion and things like that, I say, you know what, there's definitely room for two opinions, and I respect both of those opinions. And, of course, those tend to divide on party lines as well. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the overall strategy of going back to feudalism, and why do people who it's going to hurt embrace that, and why do they call themselves the Tea Party if really the Tea Party was a revolutionary American movement? They were on the side of the best for the people, not the best for the money. Okay, that's the question.
Right. Well, so in terms of when the people are going to revolt, I think what I do in 15 Steps is sort of point out how people have been lulled into accepting their own demise. Kind of like the story of the frog. I don't really know if it's true, but you throw the frog in boiling water, he jumps right out. You throw the frog in water and heat it slowly over time, the frog just stays there until he can't jump out.
I think we'll have to try that sometime.
And that's right. So whether it's true or not, it definitely works for what's happened to the U.S. middle class. They have been conned. And I'll just say one thing about the Tea Party. The Tea Party, and people didn't realize this when it started, this was funded by the very people who have been responsible for creating this move to corporate feudalism. I mean, some of the funders of the Tea Party were the Koch brothers, who I call the poster children for what's wrong with American politics. And people like that, you know, Dick Armey was very involved in the Tea Party. He had been previously running basically running the Republican Party and then working for the insurance industry. So I call the Tea Party a relief valve, a pressure relief valve, for when things really started falling apart in 2008, because we'd adopted all of these 15 steps I talk about. The obvious thing, the economy of the United States was falling apart, and so the Tea Party, all of a sudden, created by the rich, comes along and said, the problem is the liberals. The problem is this. Instead of what the problem really was the giant corporations and the deregulation and all the 15 steps I talk about. So that's just an aside about the Tea Party. But more importantly, when are people going to revolt? And I believe that when people are going to demand, a demand to a more equitable system, the system that we used to have, and the system that many European democracies have, is when they realize that this is not simply a short-term economic downturn. Many people right now have been led to believe, especially since 2008 when the system just about crashed, that what we're looking at is simply a blip. It's simply a temporary downturn in the economy. But if they actually look closely, and there was a census some census data came out, I think, 3 weeks ago, that actually shows that the middle class has been in decline for the past 30 years.
And well,
so at some point...
Well, Dennis, one of your 15 steps is developing a policy of lying. That's what Hitler did. They told the big lie over and over and over again until everybody either believed it or kept their mouth shut for some other reason. So the actual conscious motivation and strategy of the wealthy, the 1%, let's say, is to lie.
Well, what you see is politicians have always lied. I mean, you know, but it used to be, if you go back in our history, say during the Vietnam War, okay, you can lie about Tonkin Gulf. You can lie about enemy casualty figures. There's a lot of things that you can get away with not telling the truth about. But there are other things that in the past, if you just tell a direct lie, you're going to be held accountable by the media to start with. And what's happened now is that politicians just look right at the camera and they lie in a way that's provable. And yet, if anyone tries to hold them accountable, you know, they basically, if you look at the media system, what happens is if a journalist tries to hold you accountable, the journalist no longer gets the exclusives. He's basically written out of the system. And so we have this thing now where we're told lies regularly, and instead of it being reported as a lie for the most part, it's reported as, well, one person says this and the other person says this, and which gets to the next step in my 15, okay, which is lack of accountability.
Right.
So there is no sense in this country anymore that it's the job of the journalist to actually dig for the truth.
Okay, let me ask you a personal question here. I have a small portfolio. Do I have a shot at making any money? Obviously, mutual funds are controlled by people we have no idea who they are. We just trust whoever our financial guy is. But if I really read prospectuses, can I make money, or is it so skewed against the average investor that unless you're an insider, you have no shot?
Well, I think I have a portfolio as well, and I can certainly make money. The question is that there's a certain level where there is another level. There are people above me who are going to always make the easy money.
But can you make enough money to make you happy to get the boats and planes you want and go for a tourist trip to the moon if you want? You know, all of that real good stuff.
I think that there's still, that's why I say it, we haven't completely closed the circle of corporate feudalism. So I would say yes. I would say that it's gotten much harder, and the thing that's important to note is the trajectory is going in the wrong way for us, for regular people, for the middle class. So is it still possible today? Yes. Is it harder than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Definitely.
Okay, so that's us, the astute, somewhat comfortable middle class. What about poor people who don't have a portfolio, who live from hand to mouth, who have to cut out medical care in order to put gas in their car to go to their crappy job to make their crappy money to give their family crappy food in a crappy apartment so they can just barely stay alive? What about them?
Right. No, I think that that's where we're seeing it. I actually call it concentric circles of poverty. And what we've watched, starting with the Reagan administration, is that these concentric circles of poverty have grown. The first group that was sort of thrown out during the Reagan administration were the people who were, you know, mentally handicapped. Okay. They had a big thing.
Okay, Dennis, we're going to have to come back to that. We're going to take our final break, and then we'll be back for our last segment in just a minute. I am Bob Lebensold. This is Environmentally Sound.
And I am Lily Beth Chang.
If you are listening to WVOX AM 1460 coming out of New Rochelle, New York. Well, I guess that's about it. We'll see you in a couple of minutes.
With world and national news three times an hour, here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Welcome news for frustrated football fans. The NFL lockout is over.
Certainly most Packer fans have been beside themselves since Monday night.
And the last play,
I almost broke the TV. I almost broke my phone.
And that call of a touchdown that cost the Packers the win spurred a 14-hour bargaining session Tuesday, followed by another long session that wrapped up earlier this morning with a tentative deal.
Fox Radio's Rich Johnson. We're learning our economy grew at a much slower pace than expected in the second quarter, but first-time jobless applications last week did drop to the lowest figure in 9 weeks. And the Israeli Prime Minister making the case against a nuclear Iran before the UN General Assembly today.
Also speaking will be the Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas. It's expected that he today is going to ask the United Nations to reclassify the Palestinian Authority as a state.
Fox's David Lee Miller, Fox News. We report, you decide.
Attention, guy interested in buying my magician box. You know, the one where you saw the girl in half, but it turns out she's still in one piece that I bought for my move to Vegas before I found out about Empire City Casino with its 5,300 slots, craps, roulette, and baccarat. Well, good news. The first buyer never showed up, so I still have the box and saws. You know how these flaky magicians are. I'm probably at Empire City Casino right now, but check out my Facebook page under Baccarat Barry. Thank you, and good luck with your magician career.
Hi, this is Steve Pelletieri with a message about your webpage and the internet. Are you looking for a professionally created, easy-to-maintain, and user-friendly website trusted by numerous businesses, government agencies, and school districts? Well, it's Digital Strategy Associates, and they offer affordable web-based solutions. Contact our small business specialist, Matthew Zuccaro, at 862-243-2932 or visit our website at digitalstrategyllc.com to learn more about our web design and iPhone app combo packages. As your partner for digital success, Matthew will work with your business to increase sales, attract new customers, and improve your presence on the internet. References are available, so call us today at 1-862-243-2932. That's 862-243-2932. Or visit our website, digitalstrategyllc.com. Or call 862-243-2932.
Here, there, and everywhere.
Every day, every night.
We're number one for fun.
At work, at home.
WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
To WVOX 1460 AM. I am Lilybeth Chang, and he is...
I'm Bob Leventhal.
And our guest today is Dennis Marker. Hi, Dennis.
Hello.
Hi, so going back to the discussion with about your book, 15 Steps to Corporate Feudalism, I know the subtitle is From Ronald Reagan to the Tea Party Movement. Now, what is your opinion about President Ronald Reagan? Do you think he was a good president? Is he not the great guy that we think he is?
Right. I think Ronald Reagan, I mean, he wasn't obviously the strategist, but he was the salesperson. He was the mouthpiece for the beginning of this move away from middle-class democracy to a corporate feudal republic. At the time, it was called Reaganomics and the Reagan Revolution. And the changes that were introduced by Ronald Reagan, the 15 steps I talk about, were radical, and at the time they were viewed as radical. And so people don't realize, and in the book I have four charts, and one of the charts just shows that prior to Ronald Reagan, the United States wasn't involved in this massive deficit spending, unpaid-for spending. And Ronald Reagan started that. Ronald Reagan came along, and the supposed economic miracle of Ronald Reagan was simply spending money that we didn't have. He promised that what he was going to do was reduce taxes, especially on the rich, which he did, and spend more on the military, which he did, and balance the budget, which he did the opposite of. And so this whole thing, the elimination of the middle class started with Ronald Reagan. And let me just mention the 15 steps. I'm just going to mention them.
Sure.
So the listeners can get a sense of what we're talking about. Controlling the media. The media has completely changed in 30 years. And I go through several of the different steps. Deregulation, elimination of the fairness doctrine, labeling the media as liberal so people wouldn't trust it. Then that's number one. Step two, what I call... Rush Limbaugh and Foxaganda, basically the creation of a media network that does not accurately portray the truth, and that can be seen in study after study. Destroying unions. There was no middle class before the unions, and there won't be one when the unions are gone. The concept that taxes are always bad, And tax cuts, especially for those at the top, are always good. We've seen a radical transformation. When Ronald Reagan took office, 75% was the top tax rate. Now, Mitt Romney's paying less than 14%. General Electric last year paid zero. So we've really done a great job in transforming the tax burden from those at the top to everyone else. Next step, teaching people to hate their government. That showed really well with the Tea Party, people holding up signs saying, keep the government out of my Medicare.
Okay, so quick interruption, Dennis. Sure. We actually have a phone call from one of our listeners, so let's see. Let's hear it.
So he's going to let me on.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's Mr. Cam from the Rochelle.
Hi, Mr. Cam. You're speaking to Dennis, Mark, and Lily Beth Chang and Bob Lebensold.
Yes, I thought I was listening to WBAI. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I agree with everything that's been said so far. And I just wanted to chime in a bit here. Reagan was one of the worst presidents we've ever had. His picture was up on George Bush's office because he thought his father was too weak and he wanted to be tough like Ronald Reagan. And we all know what George W. Bush did to us. Reagan also presided over the worst increase in poverty since the Great Depression. Of course, now Bush probably has beaten that record. I think there were no increases in the minimum wage, which meant it was lowered. And Republicans always fight the minimum wage, try not to increase it, so inflation erodes it when they're in power. So now it's back down to $7 an hour. If it weren't for Clinton, it would be around $5. It's the lowest in the developed world. And this march into poverty, which we have now won, thanks to Reagan and other Republicans, who followed his bad example.
Mr. Cam, let me just give you a quick thought. The fact that the minimum wage is so low, there are still companies that want the better employees will pay more. So there's a certain sense that the wage sets itself. For instance, Costco employees start at $11 an hour. So there's a minimum wage, a legal one, and then there's also one that companies that want the better workers pay.
Yeah, but that's kind of a Republican argument in a way.
No. That's an independent argument.
It's $20 an hour in the North, and it's $15 in England, and nobody works for that either. They all work for $30, $40, up to $90 in Mercedes-Benz and BMW. Same thing in Japan. Also, very even distribution of wealth. CEOs pay one-third of what our CEOs are paid, and they have taken away our entire industrial establishment in capitalist competition. So these flaky socialists, with their high energy costs and very high wages, have beaten us hands down in export competition. They all run surpluses with us, and we run deficits with all of them. So we're in decline here, and there is no, you know, way to mitigate that. We've got to get that minimum wage up, get unions revived and re-strengthened, if we can revive them at all. And we're in bad shape here, and the Republicans have done it to us.
Okay, Mr. Kim, thank you very much for the call. Dennis Marker, what do you have to say about all that?
Well, I would say he's right. He didn't include Australia, but Australia, the minimum wage is in the $20 range. The deal is that in this country for the past 30 years, as I said, we have been conned into accepting the policies that are leading us to this two-tiered economic system. And if we want to have a middle class, we're going to have to fight for it. Because we're getting toward the end, I should mention, I'll just skip to some of the things I talk about in the end of the book. So I go through these 15 steps. I mentioned the first five. Let me mention deregulation and global free trade. The countries that have vibrant middle classes today have policies much more like we used to have. They didn't deregulate their industry. They believe in a tax system that is progressive, that charges people at the top, that makes the Mitt Romneys of the world and the General Electrics of the world pay a much higher percentage than what we do. And so what can we do about it? First thing is, it's like alcoholism. You have to understand the problem. The problem is not a slowed economy, as I said. The problem is that our middle class is being eliminated. We're going to have this two-tiered system, people at the top and serfs and peasants, if we allow ourselves to continue on this trajectory. I mentioned, you know, in the book, in the back, I thought there's probably 20 different things that I think, you know, suggestions that we could make, but I say that three are universal. I believe we have to do these three things if we want to reclaim our middle class. One is completely throw away our electoral system. The idea of this endless campaign with unlimited money from any sources, now so much of it is secret money, you don't even know how much the Koch brothers are paying or this person or that person. And so we've got to throw away our system.
So did the Koch brothers get to the Supreme Court, actually, or did they just take advantage of the particular bias that they have right now?
I'm not sure I understood.
Well, were the Koch brothers and other moneyed people instrumental in getting people like Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia on that court?
Oh, clearly.
So the court reflects the corruption in our political system.
Right, and that's one of my steps, corrupting the court, is step 14 out of 15. 15, bankrupting the United States and the state government. Because in a situation of bankruptcy, as we saw in 2008, it's a crisis, and immediately we would transfer trillions of dollars from the middle-class taxpayer to those at the top. But like I said, so redoing the electoral system is key. Another key is we've got to restructure our tax system. This idea, now the Republicans are actually saying they want to reduce further taxes on those at the top. But every vibrant middle-class country has a tax system much more like we had before Reagan, where you have a much higher tax rate for those at the top. And the third thing that I think is essential is eliminating this idea of global free trade without tariffs to bring products back into the United States. Because a country's wealth is generated through either natural resources or through manufacturing. You're never going to have an actual middle class if all you're doing is selling products made in China, if you're selling them for minimum wage at Walmart.
Dennis,
so those are three that are essential.
Dennis, I actually think those are very valid points. Wanted to ask you a quick question before we finish this segment. My friend and I yesterday, Simon, were discussing the Occupy Wall Street movement, and I wanted to hear a little bit about what you thought about it, which is now known as the Occupying Movement. I mean, according to our prior guest, Greg Palast, this movement is not over yet. What do you think? What's your opinion on it?
Well, first off, I think that where the Tea Party was completely, created by the rich, Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street, actually was a valid movement of people trying to resist this two-tiered economic system.
By was, do you mean it's gone now?
Well, no, but I think that the first thing that they did at this, the thing they did when they had the headlines was they actually changed people's thinking. People now have a much better sense of the wealth inequality and the fact that you can go to university and work really hard, basically you can do everything you're supposed to do and still end up $300,000 in debt without a job in the current system. So Wall Street already did that, and they did it in a way that really helped the middle class understand much better what was happening to them. I think it, and when it first happened, I said, all right, how long is it going to take for those at the top, once they realize that this movement is actually making a difference, to crush it, and how will they do that? That was the question in my group. I have a little group I belong to here, and that was the question. And so I think that those, the powers that be were able to crush the momentum of it. The problem that they have, and I'm sure they know they have this problem, is that sentiment is still there. Those millions of people that are awake to the decline of the middle class are still there. And so what the next spark is, what's the next tactic that's going to bring that to the front, I don't know. But I surely agree with Greg that the movement hasn't gone.
So what's the current progress right now? What's the status of the Occupy movement currently?
I think it's a rebuilding, it's a reassessing, it's looking for the next way to break through.
Okay, Dennis, we've unfortunately run out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. Lots of food for thought, and I hope a lot of people will think about it.
Great. Let me mention my website, where I have the book, the15steps.com. I send off autographed copies, free shipping to everyone.
Cool. Okay. Or just Google Dennis Marker, and you'll find out. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to thank Dennis Marker for joining us today. Whenever someone makes sense, and I agree with him or her, like Dennis, I am pretty sure that most people are either too partisan to listen with an open mind or too complacent to exert the energy or convinced that there's nothing they can do to change human nature. Our thought for the week: to think of Allah as a Muslim god is incorrect. Allah is simply the Arabic word for God. As monotheists, Muslims revere the same God as Christians and Jews. Stay tuned to WVOX.
Making you feel so good at work, you'll say,
it's John.